I trust you're well.
Yes.
Well, God's good. Glad that you're here. I'm Pastor Brad. I'm looking forward to meeting you. If I haven't met you, I'm grateful to have all of you here. I'm just going to start a little differently today. I mean, I don't want you, if you were teaching on Wednesday night or couldn't be here on Wednesday night, I didn't want you to miss this video. One of the things that's extremely important to us at Seaport is missions, and we support 42 and counting missionaries around the world. And so just recently, we took on yet another missionary, and we're able to do that because of your faithfulness and of your giving. So these missionaries have put together this little quick little video as a way of saying thanks. They'll tell you who they are and where they're from. Let's watch.
Hello, Seaport Community Church. Our names are Arjenis and Andrea Mitos, and we are your missionaries to Mozambique, Africa. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your support. Because of your financial givings, we're able to accomplish so much in Mozambique.
Yes, thank you so much, Seaport Community Church. Because of your contribution, because of your faithful giving every single month, you enable missionaries like us to go out and help pastors who are willing to go spread the gospel. And we believe and we have a vision to have every church in Africa to have a virtual footprint so they could be connected to not only within their own community with their own people, indigenous people, but to be an extension to everyone who goes over there and being a salt and light and even connected to the next generation.
We're not only thankful for your support financially, but we're also thankful for your prayers. We always say finances help us get to the field, but your prayers help us sustain us on the field.
You guys are a key part of the puzzle to help us sustain us in Mozambique, not just financially, but through prayer. Keep in mind and be conscious of missionaries around the world and keep spreading the good news by enabling more missionaries such as ourselves who said yes to the call and are willing to go to the furthest ends of the earth. Thank you once again.
We know who we are. We're a big bright spot.
So, yeah, that's a good thing to applaud for, that's for sure, okay? So that's something that you guys, we're doing. And so just so that you understand, missionaries, remember, have two basic areas of support when it comes to finances. One is their monthly support, which Seaport made a commitment for $100 a month to help them. And so Wednesday night, that offering goes to help give that to them. But then they were several thousand dollars short of what is called their cash budget, what they need for airplane tickets and other kinds of things. And guess what? We were able to say, we're going to go ahead and just close the gap for you. And so you gave them several thousand dollars to close the gap and get them on the field faster. So isn't that a great thing? It's a great thing. It's a great thing. The Lord spoke to me some months ago and told me that His will is for this church to give $200,000 a year to missions. So we're on our way. We're at about 60 probably before the year ends. So we're on our way. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for that? The Lord is blessing this church and we're blessing His work. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? So here's a few opportunities just before the band. You know, the band can come and then we're going to stand and worship the Lord. The songs will be projected up here so you can sing along with us. This church is a praying church and there's lots of opportunities. Don't slack off in prayer. Amen? Amen? Don't slack off in prayer. Stay with us, okay? Tuesday night, the guys meet. It's a good time for food, Bible study, prayer. Join us on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, this house is full of kids and opportunities. Be part of that. There's teaching in here. This whole building hums on Wednesday night. There's a ski trip interest meeting next week after the service. If you like to go skiing, I don't do dangerous sports myself. I ride motorcycles. That's what's a big inside joke. But okay, there we go. I'm excited to have Terry Wiles, friend of mine, been a 40-year friend of mine, recently released his book on the revelation of Jesus, and he'll be here on Wednesday night, the 20th, to speak to us, a special treat for us. The youth have a Christmas party, and then our Christmas Eve services, actually our Sunday morning services combined into one. Are you ready to worship the Lord? than stand. But before we sing, I want to show you a picture. Let's see this picture. Sonia and Robbie got married yesterday in the fireplace room. They're here lighting the unity candle. And so that was a great moment. That was a great moment. Lord, help us just to honor you in all that we are and all that we do. We worship you now. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise that you're worthy of. Thanks, Father. Amen. Come on, let's sing. Amen. Come on.
Thank you.
Believe that? Yeah, this isn't some dull, dry religious deal we're doing here. You know? No. We're worshiping the King of Glory. Today we begin a brand new series called The Miracles of Christmas. And at the end of the service, I'm going to be asking you, what miracle are you trusting God for before the end of the year? And we're going to pray that way at the very end. Adam is going to give us a powerful message, but then that's how we're going to conclude it. Be thinking about what that miracle is that you need in your heart and your life this before 2023 ends. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to trust you. You're still the God that performs miracles. That hasn't changed. You're still doing it. And we're expecting you to do it in this church and for these families and for us as individuals in Jesus' name and for your glory. But Lord, this morning too, help us in these weeks, just 2 weeks, God, help us to think about somebody that we love and care about. And God, help us to get out of our comfort zone and invite them just to come with us on Sunday service and worship you. And Lord, we pray that they would experience the reality of Jesus. Not going to church, not being spiritual, but the reality of Jesus in their heart and in their life. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. God bless you guys as you're seated. Thank you, worship band. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. So we want to encourage you. And so let's take a look at this quick little video to invite someone to come with you.
And those are the headlines this evening. What a depressing society we live in, Jana.
And speaking of depressing, let's shoot it over to Shane Bolt for this week's Christmas forecast.
Thanks, Jana. It does seem like there's a high pressure system coming our way, as we see right here on the map. Speaking of high pressure, Mitch, I never got a response to see if you're going to be joining me for church this Christmas.
What is happening?
Looks like Shane just invited Rick to church.
Hey, guys, you're live.
So, Christmas forecast looks like...
How about it, Shane? Is there any snow in the forecast?
The weather calls for a silent night, but a holy night. There is a heavenly peace coming in from the north. It just begs the question, Mitch. You want to come to church with me? Back to you.
I will have to speak to my wife when we're not on live TV.
Should we go to commercial?
All right, but you better make up your mind because church service fills up quick. What do you say? Come on, come to church with me. Back to you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Breaking news. Seems like Mitch just left baby Jesus out in the cold.
All right, so you got the point. I hope that you'll do that. It'll be a great experience for them as well. Amen. But just not like that. Anyway, I'm going to ask Adam and Chris and Andy to join me on the platform. One of the things that happens on Wednesday night around here is that we have just incredibly good opportunities for the whole family. And to grow, and we're going to continue. We're going to take that up a notch on starting in January. Now, one of the things that the Lord has made very clear to me is that his plan for Seaport is to grow numerically. But in order for us to grow numerically, we're going to have to do a few things differently, maybe a lot of things differently. But one of those things, and it isn't just about numbers, it's not about that. It's about seeing people really grow in their faith, discover Jesus, grow in their faith, and really develop. And so we're kicking off in January, Seaport's growth track. And this is just, so on Wednesday night, what that means is you'll come, it's just a little different than what's happening right now. You'll come in, and you'll start in one of these levels, and then you'll just, and then the next quarter, you go to the next level, and you just progress through this. So we're going to tell you just a little bit about this growth track. Now, that's kind of what happens with our kids in Impact and Rangers, but not so much with us. But we're going to change that up because, again, for Seaport to grow and become what God wants it to be, we've got to do a lot more development, and we don't want anybody being stagnant either. We want everybody to grow. Amen? And we want everybody to grow. And so that's what we're kicking off, this brand new growth track. So these guys are going to come and they're going to tell you a little bit about what they're doing. So Andy, of course, is going to continue with Belong. And Andy, tell us what's going to happen.
So Belong, many of you know Belong, but it's been a while since I've been up here. So Belong is really foundational Christianity. So if you know someone, and we go out in the streets and we talk to people who don't know anything about church, and we invite them to Belong. Some have committed their lives to Christ right on the street. Some God has healed them, miracles, and then we invite them into Belong. And we want people to come into Belong. If you know someone that is interested in coming to church and they have questions, they're not even in the faith. They may be anti-God, but they want to discuss that with someone. Bring them to Belong. We want them to be able to ask questions. It's an environment where they ask questions and don't feel foolish about it. We're just going to discuss that respectfully. Dig into the scripture, see what God's perspective is on that question, and get their answers so that they can make a solid decision whether they want Christ in their life or not.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. And so that's going to continue. But you know what? One of the things that needs to happen, so you go through that for the first quarter, and then things change in the second quarter. So what happens then? Now, kind of tier number two or level number two, I've asked Adam to teach this, and we're calling it Bible Essentials. So Adam, what is that about?
I'm going to teach you how to read the Bible from cover to cover over and over. No, so we're going to go over why we can trust the Bible, how it's God's word, and we're going to walk through each different type of literature in the Bible. We're going to walk through the historical books and the wisdom literature and the letters, and we'll kind of just get you prepped for why we believe the Bible, what's in the Bible, and then the last class we'll talk about like reading plans and how to apply what we've learned in the class prior.
Amen. So that's really going to give you a good handle on understanding the book. We are called the people of the book. And so that really will help you with that. Now, we're going to give you a lot more details on it today. It's just an introduction. That's all that today really is. So now, tier number three. So if you go through the first two, then you would go to the third one, which I've asked Chris to teach. And we're going to kind of put a couple of things together in there and expand it a little bit. And so, Chris, tell us what's happening, you know, and what we're calling Team Seaport.
So Team Seaport is all about learning about yourself, about how you are uniquely designed to edify the body. We're all created to be something. We're all created uniquely to help one another out, right? So we always talk about engage and learning what it is and where God wants you to serve, and that's what Team Seaport's going to be all about, learning about yourself, where you're going to serve, focusing on prayer, focusing on having a servant's heart, and then take you all the way through all the membership classes. That's what Team Seaport will be about, and how we can better serve one another and get outside of these four walls.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. So now, then what happens from there is if maybe you've gone through all those kinds of things already, or maybe as you move through those, and some of you may start, you've already done Belong, so you'll start with Adam, or maybe you'll even start with Chris, and we'll take you through all of that as we move toward the end of the year and into January, and we begin January the 10th. So then what will happen is in my class, I want to teach you how to effectively lead, okay? And I'll give you simple principles on what it means to effectively, you know, lead God's people, whether it's in a small setting or a larger setting. I'm going to give you simple biblical leadership principles to help you grow and thrive and develop in that. And that's not, it may sound scary to some of you, but it won't be scary, okay? Now, we are working on a fifth tier we're going to call Deeper Things. And that's for some of you that have been through a lot of these things. Seaport's always had a high value on training and equipping. And so maybe you've been through a lot of these kinds of things already. And so we're working on a fifth tier called Deeper Things as well. And so this is the process. So you may say, I've been through all those kinds of things. What about me? Well, here's a couple of options. you'll learn some things that maybe you had forgotten or hadn't heard by going through any one of these. And so maybe you want to jump in there. Or maybe you want to step in and you know, take this opportunity to be, maybe it's time to step into Rangers or Impact, you know? Or maybe it's time to step into some other area of ministry around here. God didn't call us just to sit on chairs.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He did not call us to do that, okay? That the highest goal of a Christian is not coming to church. I think you missed that. The highest goal of a Christian is not just coming to church. Okay. So this is going to be designed. We've given a lot of thought to this, and we're working on this and prepping it. And stay with us as we kind of tweak it out a little bit to make it work. And we really want to, we believe that this is going to help us really step into what God has for this church. And the future of Seaport is flat out amazing. And so we want to be prepared for that. Amen?
Amen.
So let me just pray, and then we'll go on here. Lord, help us as we step into this. Lord, I believe that this is your plan. We're not just doing some thing. And God, help us to prepare your people for works of service. That's what we're supposed to do. Help us to do that so that Seaport can be what you want. Not what I want, but what you want. And that people can know you and grow in their relationship and experience all that you have. God, we don't want to be churchgoers. That's the last thing we want. We want to be people who know you and, God, are effective for you. So thanks, Father. Amen, friends.
Amen.
If you think this is a good idea, say amen like you mean it.
Amen.
All right, good. Okay, that's a great vote. Thank you. Chris?
Well, good morning, church. If this is your first time here, man, we talked about a lot today, didn't we? But hey, we just want to welcome you this morning. And we do that around here by just clapping for you to honor you. So welcome. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you, right? We're a family, and we want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way for you to connect with us is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. All it takes is just a second. When that link comes back to you, fill it out. And then all of a sudden, just like that, shabam, we're connected. And we're also available on Facebook, on TikTok, even on Instagram. If you look at the seat back in front of you, if you didn't catch that phone number, it's on the seat back in front of you. You can also click on that QR code with your camera, and it'll take you to a landing page, and that will connect you to us. And again, we're available on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And if you haven't met with Pastor Brad, there's a good opportunity during service, and then he's always usually available in the Narthex after service in order to meet with you guys. Pastor Brad?
Chris, thank you, Chris. Yeah, in just a few moments, if you're visiting with us for the very first time today or been visiting with us and you'd like to find out a little bit more about the church and maybe interact with me today, in just about 1 minute, I'm going to slip off this platform and we're going to go out here into our fireplace room. You can just go with me out that way, or you can go around and down the hallway. You can go that way, go out the back and around that way. And there's some light refreshments, and we'll talk about a few things and get to know you. You can kind of interact with us, and it's just kind of an informal time. And so we encourage you. And all of our services are recorded. They're on YouTube, and they're, you know, Facebook, and you can see them there, and podcast. And so you won't miss anything. Okay. So anyway, this morning it's our privilege to give. So I'm just encouraging, there's lots of ways to give around here. You know, my little thing lately has been, let's finish strong. Amen. We want to be positioned for all that God has for us in 2024. This year's been amazing. And let's just be positioned for all that God has for us in 2024. Amen? So let's finish strong. Let the Lord speak to you about giving. No big pressure here, but just let's finish strong. Let's honor the Lord with our giving. You know, even one of you today came into my office and made a very sizable gift to this church. And, you know, and I thank you. You know who you are. And so thank you for that. We're going to finish this year strong financially, not just so that we have money, but so that we can do what God wants. Amen? Amen? Because when it comes in, we try to figure out the best way to get it out of here for the kingdom of God. Amen? So that's what we're trying to do. So hallelujah. So there's ways to give. You can see that on behind me. If you're brand new here today, there's no pressure to give. Absolutely none. Consider the service a gift. And but you know what? There's lots of ways to give up there. You can give old school through envelope out there in the giving box or online. Easy ways to do that. Okay? So right now, what we're going to do is I'm going to release our middle schoolers. And if you're visiting today and you're in middle school, you're going to slip out right now, go out those back doors and go to the fellowship hall, which is out these doors and to the right, and to the middle school class. And if you're a newcomer, you can slip out right now with them as well. And you're going to go this way or out and down the hallway. I'll meet you over there. Adam is going to come right now and kick off this series called The Miracles of Christmas. Adam?
Good morning, church. I don't know how many of you were here last year when I preached during Christmas. We did a series on the names of Jesus. I got Messiah and preached on Psalm 2. And pretty much everybody came up to me afterwards and was like, that was not very Christmassy. A little scary for Christmas. So we're going to do our best to fix that this year. Only be a little scary. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Faith is belief that we put into action because we believe God keeps his promises. Faith tells us that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Faith tells us when we can't, God can. Faith propels us to do God's will. Not to force his hand in our favor, but to work and to labor in joy for his good pleasure. If God has said something is going to happen, I believe that we should walk towards that thing happening. We should labor towards that thing happening rather than sitting down and waiting for it to happen. When believers trust in God and work according to his will, miracles happen. Thank you, Pastor Deb. Let's try it again. You guys are sleeping this morning. Maybe it's going to have to be a little scarier. When believers trust in God and move in his will, miracles happen. Amen. Now I'm going to try to convince you of that for the next... we'll see. But that's what this season is about. Am I right? The miraculous. This season is about God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The Savior, the world being born of a virgin. The birth of Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and the kickoff of New Testament prophecy. And the angel Gabriel reveals this to Mary in Luke chapter 1, which is our main text this morning, so start flipping now in those Bibles that I know you brought with you. God makes and fulfills promises that man can't accomplish. He does miracles. He brings them about by his power. So let's see what the word has to say to us this morning. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. The Bible says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Nothing will be impossible with God. So as servants of the one true God, let it be to us according to his word. We love what Gabriel says to Mary. My guess is that Luke 1:37 is probably, next to Philippians 4:13, the most overused, overquoted, and misquoted verse of scripture out there. We love to put it on coffee cups and on t-shirts and all that sort of thing. And Philippians 4:13, you know, Paul explicitly says that Christ gave him strength so that he could go hungry. And yet, we somehow think that that means we can get one more rep in or finish that last mile of the marathon. What happens when all things being possible with God leads to a life that's marked with hardship? That's right, because for Mary, everything being possible through God meant a life full of being shunned, ridiculed, forced away from her home, threatened by the government, going through childbirth in a very strange place, raising a son that would be most of the time away from home, drawing the ire of society, who would go through death threats and assassination attempts until she had to watch her son die on a Roman cross. See, all things being possible with God and through Christ, who gives us strength, sometimes means that we have the strength to survive the beating rather than God taking it away from us. God sometimes does miracles that result in a life that is defined by hardship. And if that's the case, do we still say, "I am a servant of the Most High God, let it be to me according to his word"? Amen. Do we soldier on knowing that it's all for eternal purpose and receive it with joy and praise? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a glorious message. This is a message of glad tidings and of joy. Gabriel is heralding the miraculous coming of the Son of God, the spotless Lamb who would take away the sins of the world, the heir to the eternal throne of David, who will rule and reign till all of his enemies are a footstool for his feet, the one through whom all things are created and by whom all things are held together, the one whom the Father has given all authority in heaven and on earth. So this prophecy isn't a bummer by any stretch of the imagination. No. I just hate it when people stick out of context scripture on coffee cups. It irks me. It turns God from the almighty, holy being that is completely apart from us. It turns him into part Oprah Winfrey, part genie. You get a blessing, and you get a miracle, and you get your best life now. That's nonsense. I want our faith to be fully orbed and well informed. I want our hope to be real so that our smiles are never plastic, so we can truly rejoice in all things, even as we ask God to take away the pain, we still rejoice. I want Seaport to be marked by faith like that. Faith that knows the kingdom promises of scriptures and walks boldly towards them, knowing that God is going to lift us, sustain us, strengthen us, and see his will done by his power.
Amen.
Just like Mary did. Understand, when Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word," these prophecies, these promises that Gabriel gave her, this wasn't the first time that they were uttered. No, David's forever throne was prophesied 1,000 years prior to Christ being born. And Christ being the Son of the Most High God, born of a virgin, was prophesied 700 years prior by the prophet Isaiah. This word from God that was sent through the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she is going to be the conduit by which God fulfills these prophecies, starting with the virgin birth. People get hung up on the virgin birth. I don't know why. But as kind of the inverse of what Gabriel said, the virgin birth, it's without God, it's impossible. And if God hadn't made that promise beforehand, if there wasn't kind of a reference point for that happening, people probably wouldn't have believed Mary when she said it in the first place. If Isaiah hadn't proclaimed it, she would have had no point of reference, no proof of this. But he did. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God gives Mary this promised child. She is the vessel through which God will be made flesh and dwell among his people. And that's what Emmanuel means, right? God with us. This is not some kind of like spiritual or metaphorical truth. Through Jesus, this is made tangible. It is made real. The promise that God made through Isaiah, he keeps through Mary. Now, for those of you who dig into these things or maybe are interested in apologetics, there's debate over Isaiah's use of the word virgin here. In the Hebrew language, the word Isaiah uses is alma. Now, this can mean virgin, or it can mean young woman. Now, this could be a little bit of a sticking point, but let's think about it. What it's generally used for is a woman who is coming of age but is not yet married. Now, according to the word of God, according to the structure of the day and how things were done in that society, a woman who was not yet married was assumed to be a virgin, especially in this context where Isaiah would have been saying it. Furthermore, when Matthew quotes this scripture in the Greek, he uses the word parthenos, which just means virgin. It doesn't imply woman or man at all. So this is how this prophecy has always been looked at. What the Hebrew people of that day would have been looking for is a woman who had not known a man sexually to be having a child. They were expecting the miraculous. They just didn't believe it when it showed up. And the prophecy has to be understood this way. There is no way around it, because it is pivotal for a bunch of other prophecies within the Bible. Because if Jesus isn't born of a virgin, then he's not born without sin. And if he's not born without sin, then he can't be our spotless lamb. He can't bear our grief on the cross. Isaiah 53 goes out the window completely without a literal virgin birth. Without that, Jesus is not Emmanuel, God with us. Without the virgin birth, he is not the child of promise from Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And we're going to read this one directly out of the Bible. Flip there if you've got it. Isaiah 9, this is kind of the Christmas text. So if Chris or Pastor Brad were planning on using it, well, I got to it first. But be prepared to hear it a few more times. I'm sure it's going to come up. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? If the child is called Emmanuel, God with us, and this child is going to be called Mighty God, well, I say that this must be the same child. And Isaiah 9, it kind of encompasses all of the prophecies that Gabriel gives to Mary. Emmanuel will be born of a woman, but also the great Son of the Most High God who will rule forever. So we've gone over the being born of a woman part. Turn quickly to Luke 3. Yep, we're doing a lot of flipping this morning. Turn to Luke 3, and we're going to look at the pronouncement of Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Now this should be all the miraculous evidence that anyone needs for both the triune nature of God, because all three of them are there in the same place at the same time, and of Jesus being Son of the Most High. God the Father's voice literally comes from heaven and says so. And he does this in what Luke describes as crowds who had gathered to be baptized by John the Baptist. And we also know that there are Pharisees there. So there are crowds of believers and crowds of dissenters when the triune God shows up in all of his glory. This isn't something that God kept hidden. This isn't something that just happened between Jesus and his cousin John in a muddy river. God showed everyone who he was and announced the fulfillment of this prophecy right there at the Jordan. But I guess if a word from heaven isn't enough, well, what did Jesus' detractors say about him? Well, the demons referring to Jesus as the Son of God or the Son of the Most High God, they do so in Mark 7, Matthew 8, Luke 8, and in Acts 16, right before Jesus exorcises them. Which proves what they say to be true. God orchestrates the fulfillment of this prophecy by the most unlikely of agents. And we see it in multiple places in Scripture with corroboration from a reliable source. In this case, frightened demons. And then we see the display of Christ's power that confirms it. All of this works together. It helps us with our discernment. It helps us to know who the frauds are. So when people try to take us away with false doctrine or try to entice us into cults, we know who Christ truly is. We can't be taken in by charlatans who say that they have some kind of power but have no biblical backing. And that has been going on since time began, because look at Pharaoh's sorcerers in Exodus 7 and 8. They had power to do certain miraculous things. Look what Jesus says about the false Christ in Matthew 24, 24. Or what Paul says about the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2. The ability to perform miracles does not mean that you have come from God. Satan and his minions have power too. We must be discerning. We must know the scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can work within us, so that we can see the spiritual war that is going on all around us. Don't neglect that greatest of miracles that God has already done in your life by saving you, adopting you, putting his Holy Spirit in you to work through you, to be his witness to the world. So that we, like Peter did, can affirm this prophecy and say, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." And when Peter said that, Jesus said that this is not some kind of mere worldly knowledge that you have. This isn't something that you read in some book. No, this is revelation of who God is straight from God the Father. Paul told the Corinthian church that no one can say truly that Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit. What did you think? People get saved by good apologetic arguments? People get saved because we give really good emotional pleas? No. It's a miracle. God does it. And yes, he works through us. So those good apologetic arguments are good. We are called to preach and go out and give the good news of who Christ is to the world. But it doesn't happen because of that. It happens because God does a miracle in that moment. And that's how we have to look at it. We have to understand what is really happening when someone gives their life to Christ. It is the removal of a heart of stone and replacement with a heart of flesh. It is the cleansing of all of their sins. It is God writing His law upon their hearts and putting His Spirit within them. Don't you want to be there when that happens to somebody? That's the kind of miracle I want to see. I want to see the dead rise to new life in Christ. I want to see captives set free. I want to see the scales fall off the eyes of the blind to know who Jesus is and give Him proper worship. To understand and submit themselves to the one who sits on the throne of David, ruling and reigning over all of creation. Which brings us to our last prophecy. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and on the kingdom of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, this originates from 2 Samuel chapter 7, and yes, we're turning there, because I like everybody to have context. This is why I got the scripture class on Wednesdays. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 12 and read through verse 16. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rods of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The prophet Nathan speaks this to King David 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And this is the prophecy that Gabriel calls to mind to Mary, saying that this is that son. This is the son that she will bear by the Holy Spirit. Now, this prophecy has what we would call dual fulfillments or multiple fulfillments. The lesser fulfillment is King Solomon. He is David's son who kind of sets Israel up as a proper kingdom. He builds the new, he builds the first temple, and God disciplines him when he strays. Jesus is the greater fulfillment, the perfect fulfillment of this prophecy. He establishes the forever kingdom, seated on the forever throne, born of the line of David. But Jesus is sinless. He lived a perfect life. So he bears the discipline that we deserve, those of us who believe. He bears our sin on the cross. But because God does not take his love away from his son, he is raised again 3 days later, putting sin and death to shame. Then ascending to the right hand of the Father, who loves him and gives him all authority in heaven and on earth. Revelation 1:5 refers to Christ as the ruler of kings. Revelation 19:16 refers to him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says that he must rule and reign until all of his enemies are a footstool for his feet. Hebrews 2:8 says that God the Father has made all things subject to Jesus and he has put them all under his control, whether or not we see it all currently. These are just a few examples of Christ's kingdom in the here and now, just from the New Testament. What about the parable of the mustard seed or the leaven? They mimic Daniel's prophecy of the kingdom of God being the stone that comes from heaven, destroys the kingdoms of men, and turns into a glorious mountain that covers the earth. Christ is on his throne, and his kingdom is on the move. Don't let the news dictate your theology. Don't let the news dictate your theology. Don't allow this upside down, messed up trash world that we currently seem to be living in to let you believe somehow that Christ isn't winning. He is. Yes, I will concede we are in a dip currently. Maybe for the past 50 to 100 years. But we are in an otherwise upward trajectory. This is a movement that started with 12 guys, blue-collar dudes that really didn't know too much, and then when their leader got crucified. Look where we are now. We are all the way across the world sitting in a church in Groton, Connecticut that they didn't even know existed and didn't exist at the time. Look, when Jesus gave the parable of the mustard seed, he didn't say, look, this tiny little thing is going to grow into this really great big tree where everybody takes shelter and finds shade, and then evil's going to come and chop it down, and then I'll come back. No, that is not what Jesus said. Jesus comes back to a wheat field with a little bit of weeds left in it, not a weed field with a couple of struggling stalks of wheat. We believe God can heal. We believe God still saves. All right, I am looking for some amens after these things. Stick with me here, people. We believe God can heal. Amen. We believe God still saves. Amen. We believe God came down, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross 3 days later, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. All right. We believe all of those miraculous things, right? Yes. So why is it that somehow we think that we're going to get beat down here all of the time? Why can't God turn this around so that he gets the worship from the culture, from society, and from the nations that he deserves? Is that beyond God's power to do? Has God said that was going to happen? No. No. What I said at the beginning was God made this promise. What did it say in Isaiah? Of the increase of his government and the increase of the peace, there will be no end. Do we believe that? Yes. Then we should live like we believe it. And I know it's hard, especially if you're on Facebook and Twitter. It's hard, especially when there are giant evangelical pastors telling you that we lose down here. angers me to no end. No. If we believe these things, then we should believe that God can turn these things around too. And look, it's not just me speculating, right? If we look at the arc of Jesus' life, and therefore, by extension, we look at his the kingdom of God, right? What happens? We start with a big miracle. Jesus is born of a virgin, and this garners him worship. This garners him praise. And then what happens? Oh, well, tragedy strikes, and they have to go and flee from a corrupt government over to Egypt. But then we get 10 or so years of relative kind of obscurity and normal growth. And then we find out that Jesus is quite the overachiever, and that he's, by 12 years old, he's already teaching in the synagogues. And then we have another 20 or so years of quiet. Not too much happening. And then Jesus' ministry kicks in. And then what do we have? So then we have this giant miracle where the triune God comes at his baptism, bringing him worship and praise. But then what happens? We have another hardship, and Jesus has to go 40 days mano a mano with the devil in the desert. And then he comes back out. And then what happens? More miracles, more hardship, more growth. Then a little bit of a shrinking, but then more miracles, more growth, more miracles, more growth, until the hardship really hits home and Jesus is crucified. Followed by the biggest miracle of all time, where Jesus raises himself from the dead. And more growth. And he gets together his disciples, teaches them for 40 days, and ascends into heaven. And then the disciples get scared, and you get a very small group of people, and they get persecuted. But then the Holy Spirit falls, and they go out and they preach, and you see more growth, and you see more trouble, and you see more growth, and you see more miracles. Guess what? This pattern has not stopped. I don't know why we think just because the Bible stopped being written that these things change. It continues on. So yes, there are going to need to be miracles that happen in order to turn this whole thing around. I am willing to concede that. We can't do it on our own. Praise be to God, he will. But that doesn't mean we get to be lazy. Because how are they supposed to know who he is if we don't preach? How are they supposed to know who he truly is if you don't bring him in here and let me bombard him with it? And put him to the test. But yeah, these are miraculous happenings. God has promised that he will come through. Do we believe his promise? And again, we are in a time of trouble right now. No doubt. No doubt. But I believe God is going to start doing miracles again that move us towards regular growth. I believe that God is going to heal people miraculously so that they have the courage, the supernatural courage, to speak about what Jesus has done. I believe that supernatural sorts of prosperity are going to flow into outspoken Christian businesses for doing God's will and speaking God's word. I believe that we will see saints given supernatural perseverance as they face persecution and maybe even martyrdom. And as we see these things take place, that God would supernaturally break and change the hearts of our leaders so that we would turn this thing around. See, miracles aren't always, they're not always an audible word from heaven as the Holy Spirit descends. But if we believe that they can be, then this stuff that I'm talking about is child's play for God. And I believe if we do believe that, if we believe that we can see this world turned around for Christ, then we can live and we can pray like Luke 1. Like nothing will be impossible with God. And we can say, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to his word. Let's stand. Let's pray. God, your word says that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we believe you. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Where we have yet to see these things take place, God, give us faith of the things that we've hoped for. Give us assurance of these things that we have yet to see. God, let it start here. Let it start in our own hearts, Lord, that we would take your word to those who need it. That we would see the miraculous change of heart. That we would see people turn towards Jesus on a one-to-one level. That we would be privy to that miracle as it happens. God, in that would spark a change. God, give us perseverance. Give us perseverance where we need it. Because as I say, we are in a dip. Things aren't looking great right now. But that doesn't give us an excuse to stop moving. It doesn't give us an excuse to pack it in. Lord, if you can come and dwell among us, being born of a virgin, if you can die on a cross and be raised from the dead, there's nothing that you cannot do. So Lord, we trust in you now. For these miracles. We trust in you now for miracles in our own lives, miracles in the lives of those around us, miracles in this town, in this church, in this state, in this country. God, that they would push us to be more and more of a witness for you in this world. And Lord, if those miracles lead to hardship, let us continue to say, with praise and with joy, let it be to us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing this song. And now, this is what I want to do. I'm just in there with three new folks, but this is how I want to close. As we sing this song, if you need a miracle in your life, you know, in your home, I don't care what kind it is, you know, I'm going to ask you just to slip out and stand across the front. And I'm going to ask our ministry team, after you've been here, after those who've responded have, they're going to come behind you, and you'll feel they'll put their hand lightly on your shoulder and pray with you, and they'll move among you that way. They may come around in front of you and pray for you. But they'll all have a name tag, you know. They all have one of the Seaport name tags, okay? And that way you know who's praying for you, okay? So, okay? All right, so if you need a miracle, whatever kind, we're going to do this, and we're going to trust God. Amen? We're going to trust God right through the end of the year and beyond, okay, for miracles. Do you believe it's possible?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing this. And as we sing, you need a miracle, you come. Stand across the front. Let's sing.
winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I am weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You led my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see
you to do, okay? I want you to, first of all, I want you all of you to pray. I just felt like I needed to have Chris come up here, and he's going to pray for you guys, and I'm going to pray for you guys, okay? But this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray before we do anything, and just simply say, Lord, this is the miracle I believe that I need, but if I need to pray differently, just let me know that right now, and he will, okay? There's nothing weird or mysterious. He'll do that, okay? Sometimes we think we need one miracle when God says, no, you need this. Sometimes we pray too small. Sometimes we pray for the wrong thing. So let's just pray. Let the Lord speak to you. Can we do that? Of course we can do that. Sure, you can do that. See, may I, you say, I've never done that before in my life. Oh, good day for the first time. Let's do that right now. Father God, right now, Many of us need a miracle. But Lord, this is the miracle that we believe that we need. And if God, help us to trust you for that. But if we need to trust you for something different, then make that known to us so that we can pray in agreement with your will. Help us to do that right now, I pray. God, make it very clear to us. God, sometimes it just feels like this is the miracle I need. And many times it is. But God, if it's something different, then help us to know that and pray in agreement with it. Thank you, Father. We're going to begin to pray right now. We're going to begin to pray. I want you to pray too. God, I need a miracle. God, I need to have faith to trust you for one. Amen? Come on, let's just begin to pray together. Lift up your voice. Say, I don't know how to pray. Don't worry about that. Just simply say, God, I need a miracle. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm doing what you told me to do. And I'm trusting you for miracles in the lives of your people. God, there's all kinds of miracles that are necessary here. God, some people need financial miracles. Some need healing. God, some need mental and emotional. God, some need relational. God, some, God, are just in a place where there just seems like they need a bunch of miracles. And Lord, there's not one that's too big for you. There's not one need that's beyond your ability. There's not one concern that you don't care about. And so we're asking you, God, we stand here today together, and I'm asking you, God, you're the one who provides and performs miracles. The evidence is clear. The evidence is clear. And you've not changed. And because, God, you've led us to do this series, I believe that your plan and your purpose is to perform miracles. And so, God, over these next few weeks, and maybe even beyond, we're going to trust you. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah, the ministry team, yeah, just continue to move through. Ministry team, they have tags on. They'll come. They're going to come through. They're going to pray for you. They may say something to you. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm about to wrap this up. So let's just take another moment. Come on. We're just trusting you. And God has been doing some things in my own life. And when they're completed, I'm going to tell you about them. Because they're kind of crazy. Hallelujah. We're thanking you, Lord. Come on, take a moment right now and just simply say, Lord, I'm thanking you for what you're going to do in my life. I'm thanking you for what you're going to do in my body. I'm thanking you for what you're going to do. God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. We're just thanking you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a lot of healing. There's a lot of need. There's a lot of, God, restoration. There's a lot of, God, brokenness. And God, there's a lot that needs to happen here at Seaport. And I'm trusting you for the miraculous. From this very moment, begin to move through this church for your glory and for your honor. We trust you in Jesus' name. This is what I'm trusting God for, is that you will receive a miracle and on the morning of December the 31st, Sunday the 31st, the last day of the year, you'll be here to testify about the miracle that came into your life. I'm trusting God for that. Are you? Are you? Now I'm asking you right now, Father God, we're going to sing this song in just a moment, and then after the song is done, I'm going to dismiss us. Because there's a rehearsal and there's other things that are happening. So right now, take just this moment and just simply say, Lord, I'm trusting you and I'm thanking you. I'm trusting you and I'm thanking you even in advance. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song and then I'll dismiss us. And we'll go. Some of us are here for a rehearsal. Some of us are going to go. Well, whatever it is, let's sing.
All throughout my history,
I know the evidence is here.
I hope you heard what you just sang. Father God, as we leave this place, we're not leaving you. You're not leaving us. And we're going to stand in faith, and we're going to trust you over these next few weeks. There's a lot of need here, Lord. And you and I have talked a lot about it. But you're the mighty God. Expect you to move and minister to your people for your glory out of your great love for them. Thank you, Father. Dismiss us now in your great grace. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a phenomenal Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.